The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is located in the Zion community near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Elder Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation of believers in the sovereign grace of God, where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. If you live in this area or are visiting here, we would love to have you attend worship services with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. I'm happy to note that our daily podcast is featured on Grace Alone Radio, which you can find at gracealoneradio.net. You can find the schedule on the website, and you can also download an app to your phone so that you can listen wherever you are. Grace Alone Radio is a 24-hour streaming service which carries the message of God's sovereign grace around the clock and around the world. Zion Primitive Baptist Church is located at 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. That's near the intersection of County Road 49 and Alabama Highway 159, about 8 miles north of Gordo, Alabama, and about 10 miles northeast of Reform, Alabama. If you're interested in finding more sermons, you can go to our website at zionpbc.com. That's zionpbc.com, where you'll find all of our posted sermons, as well as a link to subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our website, which will update you every time a new sermon is posted. In the last post, Elder James Allen began preaching on the topic of biblical baptism. He showed us that there are some basic requirements for baptism set forth in the Scriptures. Today, we conclude this message learning that there is a proper mode and a proper understanding of what baptism does and does not do. Please join us today for the conclusion of this outstanding message on biblical baptism.
Yeah. Next element, mode.
Yes.
The mode for baptism. That's important too.
It is.
It really is. When Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch, verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch baptized him. Now, this would have been totally and completely unnecessary if baptism could have been performed by sprinkling or just pouring water over his head. No, they wouldn't have had to go back down into the water, did they?
Right.
Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Yeah. Never guessed I'd go there, right? Anyway, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Baptism here is called what? It's called a burial, isn't it? It's called a burial. A person is not buried by sprinkling or pouring a little water on their head. A little dirt, put a little dirt over him. No, baptism is a picture, my beloved.
Right.
It's a picture of the death. And it's a picture of the burial of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. However, it's a picture of something more than that.
Right.
Something else too. Not just the death.
Right.
And not just the burial.
Amen.
It's the resurrection.
Amen. Right.
It's a picture of the resurrection. I was baptized some 30-some years ago by Elder Ronald Lawrence at Little Union Church in Lithia, Florida. And Brother Ronald, he put me down in that water. And if the Lord Jesus Christ had not come out of that tomb, Brother Ronald might just as well have left me in that pool to drown.
Right,
because I'd have been dead anyway.
Yeah.
Dead in trespasses and in sins. But because Christ arose from the grave, that preacher had the authority to pull me back out of that pool. Well, I'm glad he did that, don't you? Because Christ arose. We can arise in baptism. It is a very serious matter, my beloved, to distort God's God-ordained picture by changing the mode. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, my beloved, is not a legislative body.
Amen.
Okay, she does not have the authority to change the laws that Christ has given us in his word. No, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is merely an executive body. That's all we are. She only has the authority to execute and practice the directions we get from this book.
That's right. Amen.
I said this morning, this is a divinely inspired and revealed word of the Lord God Almighty.
Amen.
Every single word of this is true. When we talk about lightly dividing the word of God, we're not talking about dividing truth from error.
Right.
We're talking about dividing truth from truth.
Right.
We're talking about it's all truth. Every word comes from God, and everything we need to know in this world about God and godliness is found between the lids of this book.
Amen.
And now, obviously, not every aspect of our lives, not every issue comes up, but every principle is found here.
Right.
How we're to live our lives.
Right.
How do we live as children to our parents.
Right.
How parents are to care and raise and train up their children. How to be in the workplace. How to be at home. How to be at school. How to be wherever you are. How to live our lives in a way that honors and glorifies God. It's all here in this book. Consequently, the false practice of pouring and sprinkling is an alternative to the God-mandated immersion.
Right.
And it's not baptism, truly.
Amen.
It's not baptism, truly.
Amen.
Okay. Another element for proper baptism is design. Design. What does that mean? What do I mean by that? We must have the correct purpose for baptism if it's going to be void, if it's going to be valid. Many folks believe in what's known as baptismal regeneration. They believe that there is no eternal salvation without baptism. Of course, that's not what the Bible teaches, is it? We don't believe that for a second. Salvation is alone by the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, and it is no way gained by our works or by a sacrament or a ritual like baptism or the Lord's Supper. So what is baptism? Let's let Peter tell us both what it is and what it's not. Guess where we're going to go next. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Boy, I'd like to spend a half hour on that, but I'm going to keep on going. It took me a long time to figure that one out. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Well, we know those eight souls were Noah, Noah's wife, Noah's three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and their three wives, eight people, that was all that was left. Yeah. Okay, there's all. Now, whatever this passage teaches us, it says that there were eight souls were saved by water. Is that not a strange statement?
Yeah.
They were saved by water. For crying out loud, it seems to me that those eight souls, they were saved from the water by the ark. So what does he mean by this? What does Peter mean by this? Okay, so they were saved by the waters of the flood from that wicked and untoward generation. My beloved, it's the same with you and me. There's a salvation in denying yourselves, taking up your cross, and following him in gospel baptism from this wicked world out there, and it is indeed.
Amen.
There's a salvation in that. Are there any people like that in the world today, you think? You bet there are.
Yes, sir.
You bet there's some wicked and
yes,
ungodly people out there, and our life in Christ saves us from them here in this world. It really does. And verse 21 says this: the like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us. Baptism is a now salvation. You've heard that many, many times, but it's not. It's not an eternal salvation, as so many believe. It's a now salvation. It is not the putting away the filth of the flesh. My beloved, you can't pay for one single sin through your baptism.
Amen.
Not one. They were nailed to the cross at Calvary. Every single one of them. Every one of them. Nailed to the cross. You can't pay for any of them.
Amen.
Why is that? Because they were nailed there. They're done. It's a finished work. So baptism is, he goes on and tells us what it is. He says, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. Now, a lot of people read that, and they seem to think that baptism itself is an answer towards a good conscience towards God. It's not. No, my beloved, the Holy Spirit of God gives you a good conscience. That's the answer of a good conscience towards God. Because of that, you should be baptized. But the answer of a good conscience towards God, no one is going to get an answer of a good conscience towards God by their baptism. Now, you feel good when you're baptized, and you feel like you've had an answer. Boy, I remember years ago, back down at Little Union, some of you may know this old brother named Bob Dean, who lives in Ohio now, still alive, but he was a wintertime resident in Florida. In Florida, we have lots of wintertime residents, you know, because everybody wants to leave the cold and come to Florida. And so Brother Bob was a dear friend. But he'd been in and among and around the Primitive Baptists his whole life, and he'd never been baptized. Well, at 80-some years old, he finally decides he's going to be baptized. And I'll never forget the look on his face when he came up out of that water.
Right.
He just nodded his head like this, like, I finally did it, you know. But that wasn't an answer to a good conscience towards God. It was an answer to him for himself, but the good conscience towards God he already had.
Right.
He had that from the Holy Spirit of God, and he finally did something about it.
Amen.
Finally did something about it. The design of baptism is to portray the death and the burial and resurrection of Christ, and to provide the means for showing our public identity with Christ and union with his church. You know, in Muslim countries, I don't want to use terms of other different groups of people, but Christians are often not persecuted until they're baptized. Once a Christian is baptized, then the persecution starts, because they know, hey, this person's serious about what they believe. When you're baptized, you're telling the whole world, I'm serious about what I believe. You're publicly confessing the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, once you say it, you better start living it. Once you say it, you're in.
Right.
It's a statement and it's a union with His church.
Amen.
They're inextricably together.
Amen.
The church and baptism. So, we've looked at all these elements. We realize that being baptized is not going to gain us heaven,
right.
Eternal heaven and immortal glory. We realize that if you don't ever get baptized, it doesn't mean you can't come to church. It doesn't mean you can't enjoy the preaching. It doesn't mean you can't sing the songs of Zion. It doesn't mean you can't be friends with all the... Oh, we all have brothers and sisters who come to church and we all love them dearly and hug their neck. But it's not the same.
Right.
No. It's not the same. But you have all that. But so why bother to get baptized? Why? Why is this so very important? Why am I spending my time talking up here for a half hour, 45 minutes about this thing if it's not going to do anything for us in eternal heaven and more glory? If it's not going to get us to heaven, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. That's a three-day journey by foot, on foot. Jesus walked for 3 days to be baptized. If baptism was important for the Lord Jesus Christ to walk for 3 days to receive it, should it not be important enough for us to walk down the aisle?
Amen.
I thought, that's not very far. The Lord walked a whole lot further for him to be baptized. And it says in verse 14, look what John says. John says just what you or I say. But John forbade him. Imagine John telling the Lord of glory, no. That's what he said, didn't he? He forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and thou comest to me. What did John do? John felt the need. He says, I have need to be baptized of thee. John felt the need to be baptized. How about you? Anyone here feel that need to be baptized? Listen, some of us may have been attending church for years and years and years and have yet to join. Some of us have been coming all their whole lives and have yet to join. Where's the need there? It's so important. And again, nobody's going to push you down the aisle. If you're waiting for a feeling, it's not going to come. It's an obligation and it's a joy. Verse 15. And Jesus answered, saying unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh as to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Question. Why did Jesus get baptized? He sure as heck didn't need it.
Right.
He sure as heck didn't need it. He didn't need forgiveness.
Right.
The Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect, the sinless, the spotless Lamb of God.
Yeah.
Absolutely perfect, not a speck of sin in him. Why did he be baptized? Why was he baptized? He didn't need it. He has no sin. He did it as an example for us.
Amen.
He did it as an example for us. Oh, when you look at it that way, my friends, how can we not?
Amen.
How could you not come forth? He did it for us to show us what to do. When is the perfect time for you to be baptized? I'll just ask that. The moment that you saw yourself as a lost and ruined sinner, that's the time.
Amen.
That's the time. Now, if that hasn't happened, if one doesn't see themselves as lost, if one doesn't see themselves as ruined, then it's not time.
Right.
It's not time.
Right.
But if you do, if you realize that you are nothing, yea, less than nothing, if you see yourself, you know, the lower we see ourselves, the higher we'll see God.
Amen.
If we see ourselves in that condition, if we see ourselves as lost, as ruined, as sinners with no hope at all, that's the time.
Yeah.
That is the time. If that's been your experience, my beloved, and you haven't yet taken this step, Don't wait.
Amen.
Don't wait. Render unto the Savior the service that's due him.
Amen.
Thank you so much for your kind attention, and may the Lord richly bless you all.
Thank you for joining us today on the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. I hope the message has been uplifting and beneficial to you, and that the Lord will continue to bless you to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. Join us again tomorrow for another message of God's sovereign grace. If you would like to subscribe to our website, please go to www.zionpbc.com and sign up for email updates. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the church at zionpbc1847@gmail.com. That's zionpbc1847@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.